This is Out of School, a podcast at the intersection of technology and education. My name is Bradley Chambers. Frazier is traveling this week, so we have a special episode for you. But before we get started, let's thank our sponsor for tonight. Our sponsor for tonight is Diamond Assets. Diamond Assets exists to support schools in their efforts to capture the value in their existing deployments of their Apple products. Many times schools, as they finish a deployment, they just put this old gear in the closet, or they just give it away. Diamond Assets exists to help serve you in avoiding this mistake. The process is simple. You request a quote, you schedule a pickup, and you join them for a reconciliation call, and then you get the payment for your equipment. They are a full-service IT asset recovery company. They offer a complete range of services to their customers, including buybacks, white glove pickup, flexible scheduling, serial number audits, reconciliation reports, customer support, labeling and the coding of the merchandise, and also they help with inventory tracking. Now, one thing they do as well that a lot of people forget about is erasing the data. So this, especially if you have laptops, this can take a lot of time. If you have 100 laptops, it can take some serious amount of time to get those back to a factory default. By combining their white glove services, their enhanced trading values, and dedicated account management, Diamond Assets has allowed school districts across the U.S. to take full advantage of one of the most unique trading programs the industry has to offer. If you're refreshing your Apple deployment soon or even just beginning the planning, don't leave money on the table. Contact Diamond Assets today. It's diamond-assets.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at Diamond Assets IT. Thanks to Diamond Assets for sponsoring the show this week. Now, Frazier is traveling this week, so I'm going to be talking solo today. So it won't be a super long episode, but I want to talk about something that I recently did and talk about the problem we solved over the summer at our organization. I just got back from Boston speaking at the IoT Security Conference. If you don't know what IoT is, it's Internet of Things, and that kind of is, I don't really like the term. I think it kind of sounds funny, but I don't know a better term. To me, you can sum it up as devices that are on the network. They're not necessarily end-user devices. So at our organization, this includes our commercial HVAC system, our security system, and we have a couple CCTV systems spread across our organization. So, and those are also on the network as well. So these are devices on the network, but aren't necessarily like end user devices, like computers, laptops, and really things end users don't even interact with very much. So, why do these things exist? Well, the value of your network can be leveraged to do some really pretty cool things. So I'll talk about our HVAC system. So we have about a $90,000 commercial HVAC controller, which seems like a lot of money, but we got this about 9 years ago, and it immediately started saving us $5,000 a month on our power bill. So it's quite a bit. And we have two large buildings, so we have a decent power bill every month. In the summer, it can be tens of thousands of dollars. So when you're talking about a $5,000 a month saving in your peak months, it's pretty significant. We recoup the value of that pretty quickly. And then just being able to remotely schedule things, and how we come up with that savings is by, when people are going to be using aspects of the building, we only heat and cool those rooms. We don't have to heat and cool the sanctuary at the church if no one's using it that day. So it allows us to really segregate it. So think about something like your Nest thermostat, but make that to the enterprise level. It's really, really pretty cool system. The problem with this industry is these products are built by companies that are not networking native. So what do I mean by networking native? Networking native is, if I'm a company that makes switches, well, I'm a switch company. I deal with networking products all day long. And these companies that make these products they specialize in their field, and networking is in some ways an add-on for them. It's not their primary function. And so a good analogy is your car system, your car. So your car generally does it one thing well, like it's a great driving machine. It turns on and lasts. But I don't know that many people really love their car interface systems, like their dashboard system. I own recent episodes of Accidental Tech Podcast. Marco Arment has even talked about how bad his Tesla's car system is, like how the map, the drawing aspect of the map will be really slow. And it's a very expensive car. Why is that? Well, it's because people that are making cars, they almost view the interface of their dashboard system to be a box to check. and it's not their specialty. They don't care deeply about it. So again, this, you know, our commercial HVAC system, that is the networking piece, is an add-on. What it, you know, what its specialty is being able to control your HVAC system. But the problem for the IT department is they are usually brought into this process at the end of the sales cycle. You know, they, it's like, oh, yeah, of course we can put it on the network. Of course you have to get it on the network. But from an IT perspective, you know, we're not really sure what these products are even doing or how they're, you know, the security of them, who they're talking to. Are they phoning home somewhere? We just don't know. And I kind of equate it to, can you imagine if I bought some new switches and told our maintenance department, hey, we can wire these things into our air conditioning system and they can remotely turn the air conditioning system on and off as they need to cool the switches down. And they would like kind of push back and say, look, we don't want something. We don't know what it's doing, managing a large part of our enterprise. And that's really where we're at with IoT. You've got these, you know, and some of these products are really cheap and some of them are really expensive, but they're not built for security from the ground up on the networking side. And like, I'll, you know, going back to our HVAC system, it's a Java interface. Every time Java updates, it breaks it. So, I mean, we've had our vendor tell us, hey, you guys shouldn't update Java so frequently. And you just, when you hear that, you think, okay, you have no idea about the security of these products, because in reality, you know, the fact that it even runs Java makes me sad. But the fact that they're telling me not to update it is just a security risk. And oftentimes, like, we had another one of our products, the vendors said, hey, you don't have to change the default passcode. You can leave it at 123456. And this is a product we were actually making available on the public internet. And I don't know if any of our listeners read Ars Technica, but there was an article recently about a DDoS attack where it was using hacked CCTV systems to leverage this DDoS attack. So the security is not necessarily just someone wanting to hack to your system, but to hack your system to use it for, you know, as a botnet kind of thing. So that's kind of the problem with IoT, is there's really no security around it, but these things are doing, you know, like, these things are doing really cool things. So it's like, we want to leverage them, but we have to figure out a way to secure them. Because again, they do some cool things. So I had been concerned about this for, gosh, probably a few years now. I've been thinking about it. And as I look at these systems, you know, I see the flaws in them from just the ground up architecture, what they do. So earlier this summer, a company called Zingbox contacted me, and I mentioned them on a past episode. And what they do is they're an IoT security appliance. And so what it does, you put this box on your network. It can be a hardware box or it can be a virtual appliance. You mirror all, you put it into your core switch and you mirror all your traffic to it. And so I did this. I set it up on a Friday before I left for vacation and just let it run. It's monitoring your traffic. Didn't slow down my network at all. Just monitor traffic. About 3 weeks later, we looked at the results and we had some vulnerabilities we needed to address, and they were all related around our IoT devices. It was not no end user devices. It was all related around our IoT devices, and so that's obviously concerning. It's one of those things where Zingbox is a product you almost wish you hadn't ran, because then it confirms your worst fears, and then it's like, not only do you worry that you have vulnerabilities, you just know you do. And so these products were like phoning home to random IP addresses. Tons of people tried to access them from overseas. And so that's obviously a concern. And so the cool thing about Zingbox, though, is not only did they help me identify what issues we had, but then they also helped me to modify our security on site to protect these devices. So they have firewall experts on site and they're working on native integration with many products. But basically they helped me identify services on, you know, let's say for example, our CCTV was open to SSH to in and out, and there's no reason for that. And so we figured out how to turn that off. We looked at a lot of the IP addresses that were trying to access these devices that didn't have any business doing that. We blocked them at the firewall level. And so this industry is wrought with security problems, and no one's addressing them, but new features keep coming out that we want to use. So Zingbox to us was was really a lifesaver for me, because I can now run these devices on our network but feel confident about our security of them. And so we made tons and tons of changes to our firewall, but then we were also able to you know, monitor it ongoing, and I can see the changes in, like, our obviously these devices are still on the network, but then they're not seeing the random connection attempts, and they're not phoning home to places that I don't know about. It's particularly our CCTV system that was phoning home, and I asked our vendor about this, and he said, look, he said, most of the CCTV gear is made from like one factory, one manufacturer makes it, and they just rebrand it for different companies, and it just is constantly phoning home. And I've we've talked to our reseller, and they say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. So it's very frustrating. And again, that kind of, I think, shows the problem with these products is they're just not built for security at all. But Zingbox has allowed me to I guess solve that, and it's come alongside me, and it's different than a traditional firewall. It doesn't replace your traditional firewall, where your traditional firewall is really concerned with like intrusion and then like anti-malware and anti-spam if you're running a mail server on site. That's the role of a traditional firewall, along with content filtering for us. But the problem with it is, a lot of these products, we're opening holes in our firewall for these products so they can talk inside and outside of our network. So, the firewall can't really do much when you're literally opening the door for it. And so we were able to, Zingbox is basically able to like kind of put a shield around these products and it's an additional firewall just for these products. So these products still function, and our end users don't know that we've made tons of security enhancements around these products. Like, our maintenance department doesn't know that they can still access this device off-site, these controllers off-site, but they don't know that we've provided a bunch of additional security around them to protect these devices. So I'm really, really happy with the product. It's a new product. It's from a startup from Silicon Valley. Again, it's called Zingbox, ZingBox.com. They've closed a couple rounds of funding, so they're a well-funded startup. And I've been really, really impressed with the web interface. They have a public cloud model where whatever your organization is, .zingbox.com, and then you can access all your data anytime, and it works really, really, really well. And the cool thing is that not only help you identify the problems, but they also help you fix them. And that's, to me, the big thing, is being able to help fix them. Business model is pretty simple. They charge you an annual subscription based on the number of devices you have that are IoT devices. So it distinguishes IoT devices from like iPhones and Macs. And then there's different levels of security. So you can have like kind of just compliance or remediation as well. And so for us, it's something that we're paying for, we're going to pay for ongoing. And we just view it as a part of our security renewals with our firewall for content filtering and support. It's one of those things, if we're able to spend $90,000 on a commercial HVAC system that can save us $5,000 a month, we can afford to pay for Zingbox as well. Really, really impressed so far. So if this is something you have at your school, in terms of you have these kind of controllers, you have a CCTV system, your security systems on the network, consider checking Zingbox out. It's ZingBox.com. Highly, highly impressed so far. So, but I just want to take a few minutes to this week while Fraser was traveling and talk about that. And that was what I was talking about at the IoT security conference. It was just talking about the security problems that we've seen around it, even as an end user, and then how we're able to kind of solve that as well. Because I don't foresee this industry kind of getting control of itself in this way, because most of the products, that's not their goal, and a lot of them are cheap, and a lot of them are just made by companies that don't have any idea about networking. The networking is an add-on for them rather than a core function of their business. So check them out. Thanks everybody for listening this week. We'll be back next week with Fraser, and check out Diamond Assets if you have a need to sell back some Mac or iPads to your school. You can make tons of money. Sold some of our gear last year at our last deployment, and it was able to buy additional devices. So you've got a lot of money sitting on the table if you've got a closet full of old iPads from your last deployment. So thanks everybody for listening. The website is outofschool.net, and I am on Twitter at Bradley Chambers. You can check out Fraser's Twitter and connect with him at Fraser Spears. And I am chambersdaily.com on the web, and you can check Fraser's blog at spears.org. So have a great week, everybody.